This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello. It's about 11:30. No, maybe 11 o'clock at night. It's really quiet. It's really still. It's a crisp, clear night. I can see the band of the Milky Way above me. I can see Jupiter on the horizon. I can see a man in that bush. And it's been that classic last day of a holiday when it was perfect. It's always used to happen on holidays to Wales. But the difference being it would rain for 2 weeks. And then on the last day it would say, this is what you could have had. And you'd have that kind of golden late summer light. And it was like that today. It's just perfect. And there's that weird feeling, you know, when you get to the end of a summer, really. It reminds me of, I think, the second time I did Edinburgh in 2009. And it was not a good experience. It was a terrible experience. Did I ever tell you about that? I wanted to go into a paid venue. I'd done the Free Fringe the previous year, just as a kind of experiment. It landed in my lap. I think Martin Kellner was doing a show. He was with a guy called Le Pitoman or Mr. Farty Pants or something. A guy could flatulate on demand. Martin Kellner was like on stage in conversation, if you can call it that, with him. He proudly called it live odourless farting. I remember it was quite a small venue and it wasn't. Anyway, Kellner had booked to do like a week of it. But it was like a 3-week run for the Fringe. And the organiser said, well, you can't just take a venue for a week. So he kind of called me up and said, well, do you want to have a go at doing Edinburgh? Because I've got 2 extra weeks. You could do a short run. So I said, yes. And then I booked another venue. This was the first year I did it. So I ended up doing 2 shows a day. And then I was in a play with Adam Riches, which was pretty bad. And Adam Riches broke his leg. That's another story. Anyway, the second year I thought, well, I'll have a go at doing it in a paid venue. And so I applied to all these sort of posh venues. And none of them were getting back to me. And I was like, oh, I don't think I'm going to get to Edinburgh. I thought, well, maybe I could see if the Free Fringe still had any places. And they did. So I took one. And then a paid venue got back to me and said, yeah, we've got a slot for you. So I took that as well. So I took two shows up to Edinburgh, two different shows. And it was quite a grueling premise. But anyway, the second show, the free show, was going to be largely Dora Dale. But it involved me doing like a quick change into Dora Dale's outfit. And with the free fringe, you just get what you're given in terms of venues. And I couldn't like recce it or anything. I just got there with, I think, like a day to go before the show started. And realised that Dora Dale was not going to work in this space at all. And that sounds pretentious, but it was literally just the fact that it wasn't a room in a pub, it was the pub. So you'd walk in from the high street and you'd be kind of right next to the performance area. And it just meant that I totally freaked out because I just thought, if people walk in cold and they see a guy dressed as an old woman, like, and where do I change? I literally would be changing in the window of this pub. I just thought, I can't make this work. I can't do Dora. So I threw it out, like, the day before the show, and just cobbled together anything else I could think of to make a show. And I remembered I got previewed by a guy from The Independent, I can't remember his name, who sort of said, this guy's probably worth checking out. And that was really exciting. And then he reviewed my show, but he came to the free one, which was not a good show, and I knew it. But the paid show was really good. That had all my kind of A-grade material in it anyway. But having had to jettison two-thirds of the free show the day before and then kind of figure out something, it was a terrible show. And I remember the line from the review. She said, one thing's clear, he's no stand-up. It's hard not to take that to heart. This all sounds very bleak, but the point is, I remember on the last night of Edinburgh, 2009, I remember sitting out on a night like this, and it had that kind of same feeling of the end of a summer, a chapter, a thing, a project. And saying to a friend who was also doing stand-up there, I said, if we did it, for better or for worse, you know, whatever it means, and probably nothing. Whether it was good or it was bad, we did it. We got through it. We showed up every day and we did it. And I suppose of that, I was proud because I'd had to kind of keep going when I just wanted to curl up and die. Like, I just didn't want to do, especially, I didn't want to do that free show. And I kind of knew that, you know, my mouth was saying, hey, what a wonderful crowd. Isn't this fun? Aren't I terrific? And I knew my eyes were saying, this is awful, isn't it? Oh my God. So, that's funny. Yeah. I know some people who just, for them, doing stand-up is like oxygen. They have to do it. And I think you have to do it. I don't feel like that. But I'm proud of what I have done, even when it's been kind of lamentable. I don't remember any of the act. I can't remember any of what I did. trying to get my brain not to remember, because I don't want to remember now. I know it'll come to me. I'll start wincing and the enamel will start falling off my teeth. Anyway, it's the end of the summer. Tomorrow, we're heading back. Well, today, as far as you're concerned. And it's over, and it has been a project. Keeping everybody together. Everybody's been badly injured. Mum trod on a nail on the first day, and it was quite a long nail. That was exciting. But it's been okay. And now it's a question of going back and figuring out what the hell to do next. I don't know. I've got some ideas. Some quite fun ideas. And some restructuring ideas in terms of podcasts. And I'm excited. But I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, no idea. It's financially terrifying. If you can ignore that, though, it's quite exhilarating. Anyway, I should go in. One day, I really want to do some kind of Bjergfest thing here. There's a hotel about 3 miles away. We could do it, right? It'd be really great. Okay. Bit of a weird podcast, but, you know, it's all going to get back to normal next week, I promise. Thank you for your patience. You've been very lovely. Okay. Goodbye from France.